You're listening to a Sound Vision Online podcast.
Find us at soundvisiononline.co.uk.
Well, I'm thrilled today to be in the company of Kelly Gallagher, Winter Paralympic Champion, Sochi 2014. Kelly, you're very welcome.
Well, thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
I mean, well, there's so much we could talk about. I mean, 2014 was such an amazing year for you, as I'm sure you, I'm sure you'll agree.
It was really great. Obviously, like when I went to the Games, I was hoping to compete in all, well, I did compete in all five events, but I was hoping for them all to go really well. So it wasn't actually until I came home with my one gold that I kind of realised what a big impact it had. Here, I was really lucky to have the coverage and the exposure, you know, with people being able to watch it on television with Channel 4 covering the,
absolutely,
the
yes.
games. And then the way that I was embraced here in Northern Ireland with the media and stuff, it was really, really great. But not to raise my own profile, but to show people whether they've got disabilities or children with disabilities or whether they've never even encountered anyone with a disability, but they were able to see those achievements and have a look at what Charlotte and I do on snow. It was really exciting. That was one of the best things, really, is to be able to see how much people have been able to see the ski racing.
The one thing I think I heard a few people say a few times was they never really imagined, they didn't really imagine the speed that you actually do travel at full, when you start at full tilt. How, you actually mentioned to me earlier, how fast is it?
So we're about 110 kilometres per hour, which is about 75 miles per hour, which is what you're driving on the motorway when you're going full gas kind of thing. So I'm travelling with Charlotte in front of me, and all I can see obviously is her fluorescent orange bib, and then I'm really close to her and we're just hauling down the slope. So I think you could describe that to people, but unless they actually feel it by seeing it, they don't really, because they don't really understand it. They can listen to you saying it, and then they're like, but they don't really have an appreciation of it. And then when they saw us skiing, it was quite difficult for them people to be able to accommodate the word blind or visually impaired with seeing, you know, the top ski racers in the world come down a slope together. So it was something that was really changing perceptions. And I didn't really believe in the idea of legacy or changing perceptions or all that kind of stuff that I thought was kind of a theoretical, kind of floaty word that people talked about in, you know, British Paralympic Association or in the International Paralympic Committee. But it is slowly changing. The fact now that bid cities for the Olympics and Paralympics have to put in a joint bid together is making it so that countries are having to put on the Paralympic Games. And then when they bid for the rights to show the Olympics, they're taking the Paralympics too. And they're having, you know, journalists are having to interview us, which means that we're getting more coverage, which means that eventually in 20 or 30 years, possibly sponsors would be interested in investing in Paralympic athletes because we're getting more coverage. So it's a really slow process, like everything is, and it's difficult being an impatient athlete and wanting to show the world what you're capable of, but it's nice to see the wee small steps.
I certainly don't remember the Paralympics ever getting as much coverage as it did in 2014.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, well, if you think back to Beijing in 2008, I don't really remember too much. And then Vancouver 2010, we didn't have anything. We were at the Winter Games. And then you think of what they did in London. It was, you know, the sponsors were the same. When the sponsors were sponsoring the Olympics, they were also covering the Paralympics. And I think that's been a real progression. And I think there's been a real appetite for Olympic sport anyway. So, I mean, it's interesting to see how the systems in sport are changing. Obviously, we still have professional sport where it comes like from Formula One, golf, rugby, cricket, and you know, it's very much male dominated men's sport that gets the coverage, gets the sponsorship, gets the on the back pages. I mean, I'm still interviewed about my personal life, and like I'm still a feature in when I'm in the newspaper rather than actual sport, because we're not really covered. But eventually it will change where we're on the back pages of newspapers as Paralympic and women's athletes and winter athletes.
Just for any listeners out there who maybe can't imagine what it is you're talking about, could you take us through like what happens when you and Charlotte get ready to go down the slope? How does it work?
So we'll start off side by side. I'll be the person who's timed. Charlotte's time isn't taken because obviously she's in front and she starts before me. So she would say like 3, 2, 1, go. She would go on the one to get in front of me and I would go on the go. Sometimes I get a bit excited and go a little bit quick. But I basically have to be close to her but not too close, and she has to try and lead me down the slope by kind of making me go a little bit faster. She wears this fluorescent orange bib and we have Bluetooth radio communications that'll be in our helmets. So I can hear her and she can hear me just like we're speaking now. Mm-hmm. And the kind, everyone just assumes that you're saying left and right and that she's kind of describing the surroundings, but that's not actually that useful. I can obviously feel the ground through my skis. I can feel, you know, if it's sliding away from me, I can feel if it's hard snow and I'm able to move. On that Charlotte's experience and everything, maybe a half a second before me or a wee bit less. So she's kind of skiing and telling me things that she's doing in order to be in a better body position to be able to take the turns quicker. So what she'll be doing is looking ahead and thinking to herself what she's going to be doing. As she's experiencing it, she'll be telling me, and then I'll be receiving that information, and I work very much on what she's anticipating telling me, and then I'm working from what I can feel underneath. So
tell me a little bit about, you know, life since winning the gold medal. How's it changed?
It's definitely really strange to still be congratulated about a race that you did over a year ago. So people that I haven't seen are still saying, like, congratulations. I'm like, yeah, okay. It's like, I've done like hundreds of races. So that's a very strange feeling to still be like, given an accolade like again and again and again. I feel like every time someone congratulates me, I'm like, oh yeah, I won, yeah, that's cool. And you kind of think, you know, I don't know, if you're a chef and you make a really good meal, I don't think like years after people are still thanking you, but that seems to be what skiing is. Some of the most extraordinary things that happened was like being nominated for BBC Sports Personality of the Year.
Absolutely, I was going to come on to that.
Yeah, only 10 people, you know, 10 athletes in the UK and abroad and stuff were nominated, and it was really special for us as you know, as a team or as athletes, Charlotte and I, not to have a big PR team behind us, a big management team. There's you know, there's no money behind us. It's just us and our sport. So then being up there with Rory and Lewis and Joe Pavey and all of the athletes that have big governing bodies and have you know, professional sport behind them, it was really exciting. It was just a surreal experience as well to see the kind of, like, you know, people coming in their private jets and their entourages and stuff. I was a bit like, okay, we got here on Ryanair or like a budget airline anyway, but so yeah, it was interesting. But the main point about it was to be able to, like, to be able to stand up there and actually have something to say. So we had something to say, which was being given a microphone and being able to stand and, you know, talk on BBC about sport. Mm-hmm. And show people that it is a competitive sport, and that it's not just two girls going away skiing and having fun, that we're ranked number one in the world and we're champions, that we're at the pinnacle of our sport and that we achieved that together. That was really special for me. It was really important, and I like the idea that children and parents got to be able to see us on television, on mainstream television, and that was in alongside with all of the mainstream men's professional sport. That was exciting for me. For 4 years, I spent my whole time putting skiing first, above everything, above my friends and family, and I wouldn't ever compromise on anything. If training meant that I had to do something that meant that I had to cancel plans with somebody else, or I had to not go to weddings, or not, you know, I had to go to, you know, all my friends know that I go to bed really early and get up really early and I eat well and, you know, stop drinking and all that kind of stuff. Not that I, you know, was hard on the drink, but like, do you know what I mean? Like, I just, there was no celebration.
Your
because
what
you were
fitness,
yeah, what you were kind of, you had this overall goal, and there was nothing that we didn't do that if something was compromising your overall goal, you'd just kind of discard it and stuff. So it did mean a lot, and you're in this bubble where you think it's the only thing that matters. Since then, I've kind of realised that it does matter a lot, but like, you have to have like a perspective kind of thing. I think for Sochi, we were so, and I don't want to say desperate to win, but we were so focused to be able to win that we got to the stage where it broke my heart whenever my ski came off, or like whenever I didn't have the time kind of right. Like, we were really, really focused in a bubble that meant that we couldn't have any perspective on anything else, because we were like, we machines that were like, we've got to win a gold, that's all kind of thing. And there was a lot of pressure on us as well. I'd kind of hoped that this year would be, I was, you know, maybe naive to think that like everything would get suddenly better after Sochi, that, you know, once we won a gold, that we were going to turn into an incredibly professional sports team. We weren't going to have any worries ever again. But I gave Charlotte a concussion, I guess, because I tripped over her skis and clipped the back of them. So she kind of head face planted into the ground, and she's still struggling at the moment, and that's from January. So concussion's really difficult. So she's still recovering, and we weren't really able to achieve what we wanted to because we couldn't go to World Championships. So it's been quite a deflating season.
So finally, just before I let you go, Kelly, what would you say when people use the words like inspirational or things like that? How does that make you feel?
It does feel like uncomfortable because you kind of think like, I don't feel any different to anybody else kind of thing. I know that everyone's on their own wee path of what they're doing, and I'm on my own wee path and getting on with what's going on. But I do like love the idea of helping people from the experience that I've had. I love the idea that if there's a byproduct of it. So when we did get emails from parents and children and Facebook messages and tweets and stuff of people being like, oh, it's so cool to see someone with albinism or someone with a visual impairment, you know, doing so well. The idea that then if I'm able to help out kind of thing, that's kind of what I would like to be doing. I suppose maybe if you want to put the label inspirational on it, I guess you could. But really, I just want to help wherever I can. Kind of thing. And I still want to be a ski racer, number one, but at the same time, if I'm able to get involved with activities and stuff to be able to encourage people to, I think it's not so much get involved in sport, but like get out and do whatever they want to do if I'm able to. I've done well because I was encouraged, and because everywhere I went I was signposted to somebody. If they couldn't help, they would signpost me to someone who could help. And that's something I really enjoy in ski racing. When somebody doesn't know something, they're like, well, I don't know that, but I know that someone who does know it. And that's the type of people I like to work with. So I'd kind of like to be able to do that for other people.
Well, Kelly, it's been fascinating talking to you. I could talk for hours, but I better let you go. But listen, yeah, thanks for coming in and talking to us.
No bother. Thank you very much.
RNIB Northern Ireland, supporting people with sight loss.